Merry Christmas.
Thank you for your beautiful special song. After we finished our Christmas worship service, I thought that we deserve, especially I deserve some rest. But for the last 1 week, I was forced to meditate on the Word of God, but it was really good for me. So I really repented a lot. And I prepared the message. And also I'm very glad to see many friends from all over the world. They came to listen to my message. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, especially as a baby in a manger. Father, when we see this baby, Jesus, we can see your love, your humility, and your hope for us. Father, we want to fix our eyes upon Jesus, not on anything else. Father, today we want to really see and have the mindset of our Lord Jesus Christ through Apostle Paul's writing, enable me to declare your words by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, cover all my weaknesses and sins that your people can see only Jesus through this message. Father, humble me that your words can be only proclaimed. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is Have the Same Mindset of as Christ Jesus. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. My key verse is verse 5. Can we read verse 5 together? Okay, let's go. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I know you all came to hear a Christmas message, but were you confused by the passage? There are no angels singing, no shepherds with their sheep, no magi worshiping, and no sleeping baby Jesus in a manger. But in fact, this is Apostle Paul's real-life Christmas message to us. It answers the question, how does Jesus, born in a manger, enable us to live and heal and be healed and live and love in a broken and hurting and angry 21st century world? How can we rejoice in this very sad world? When we think about Jesus, the baby in a manger, it is easy just to think, wow, he looks cute and peaceful, and then go on hurting and being hurt in conflicts. Apostle Paul, however, in this passage, helps us to see and have the mindset of Christ Jesus in a manger. And in this mindset of a baby Jesus, we can find the fundamental solution to our relational issues and find restoration and healing in our 21st century churches, families, and with one another. So, let us learn the mindset of Christ Jesus today. Part 1, 3 biblical principles for beautiful relationships with one another. Do you want to have beautiful relationships?
Yes.
Or broken? So, the 3 biblical principles for beautiful relationships with one another. Verses 1 through 4. Before we engage ourselves with others in a relationship, there is one thing we should do first. Look at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. In this verse, the word if may be confusing, as if Paul is asking us whether we really have these things. However, if can be translated as since in Greek. Therefore, since you have these things, these blessings, encouragement, comfort, common sharing, tenderness, and compassion from Jesus, the first principle is know what you have from Jesus. Not just to know, but also to enjoy them. Since we have already received from the triune God encouragement, comfort, and common sharing, then we can also have tenderness and compassion toward others. These spiritual blessings become our foundation and the power source in all our relationships with others. When we are filled with these spiritual blessings, we can feel safe and secure, confident and free, just as Paul said, who can be against us if God is for us? Amen. If we enjoy those spiritual blessings from the Trinity, we don't try desperately like a dry sponge to soak up affirmation and good opinion and encouragement from others. Don't do that. But if we begin our relationship with others with something else than what we have already received from God, we become easily indifferent, critical, confrontational, defensive, and disrespectful toward others. So, hold on to any encouragement, any comfort, and any common sharing in the Spirit, and tenderness and compassion from God, no matter how little or small they may be. For our comfort from God is a true and living source for our spiritual health and relationships with others. Amen. What then does Paul tell us to do with the blessings from God? Look at verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. The second principle for beautiful relationships is be one in mind, love, and spirit. But is this possible with the people from different cultural backgrounds, from different generations, different pasts, and upbringings and education? Last Sunday, our orchestra and chorus offered beautiful songs to our Lord Jesus Christ. I was part of it. I'm proud of it. For 3 weeks, we practiced. At first, most of us were busy learning our own parts, looking at the music and counting rhythm individually. Everyone is different, right? Thus, when we got together, it sounded like a terrible noise, like 50 people doing 50 different things at the same time. But as we kept practicing together, we realized that each person should listen to the others, and most of all, look up at the conductor. That is what chef of the team said, look up at me, even though I'm not handsome, look up at me. And follow his beat and his interpretation. And a miracle happened. Likewise, when we fix our eyes upon Jesus and follow his leading, we can have unity in diversity in the body of Christ. If you still think it is very hard to become one, why is it so? Look at verses 3 and 4. Let's read them. 3 and 4. Okay? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. Selfish ambition, self-centered or vain conceit, self-value, and self-interest above others break the unity in the body of Christ. And the third principle is this. Know the true enemy, the enemy of self. Some may think of others as their enemies. My boss, parents or children, my Bible teacher or spouse are my enemies. But in truth, our real enemy is self. Next time, when you get in a conflict with someone, say to yourself, she is not the enemy. My enemy is self. Satan always says, take care of yourself, your life, your ideas, your opinions, your interests, your health, your money, your time, your families, your sleep, your finals, etc., etc., are more important than any others. Self within us, precisely our old self, cries out, I, my, me, mine, what about me? The Bible, however, says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. How can we overcome our selfishness and pride? Apostle Paul says that it is in humility. How?
Humility.
In humility. What is humility? If self is our enemy, then selflessness is humility, isn't it? C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, like, I'm no good, I'm useless, I'm full of sins. Rather, humility is thinking of yourself less. More importantly, humility is thinking of Jesus and others more. Now, we studied three principles, right? Let's move, okay? Part two, the three aspects of the mindset of Christ Jesus, verses 5 through 11. Apostle Paul could have stopped at verse 4 after giving them the three principles for their relational problems. But he goes on and touches man's deepest part, the mind. Precisely, mindset, our mindset. Unless our inner person or mindset changes, no matter how hard we try, permanent unity in the body of Christ will not happen. Let's read verse 5 together. Please, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Only when we have the mindset of Christ Jesus will beautiful relationships form. On the other hand, every possible unexpected relationship problem occurs because of a wrong and crooked mindset of one party or both parties. Once, I got mad at my wife. Don't do that, but, okay, you husbands, don't never do it. Once, I got mad at my wife. She asked me, honey, how was your day? What did you do today? I said to her, why are you asking me what I did? Do you think I'm so lazy that you have to check upon me? Later, she simply answered, honey, I just wanted to know how your day went. Why did I interpret my wife's lovely greeting so angrily? Was it because of my tiredness, stress, or my brain tumor? No. It was simply because I had a wrong mindset. I let the mindset of a victim and sense of failure control me. When I had the mindset that my wife disrespected me, I was extremely defensive. But that was not true, right? There can be many different kinds of mindsets. If you have the mindset of everyone is out to get me, or the mindset of I'm better than you, if the mindset of you must listen to me, parent, or the mindset of I will never listen to you, children, etc., every relationship will go wrong. In other words, if you have a mindset based on your past experiences, position, social status, age and gender, feelings and emotions, etc., apart from mindset of Christ Jesus, Such mindsets can cause all kinds of the relationship problems with others. When we have relationship problems, what do? Sometimes we withdraw, or sometimes we confront, and or we try in all kinds of ways to repair broken relationships by our human effort. But Apostle says, in your relationships with others, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Unless we have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, our relational problems cannot be genuinely resolved. Any methods other than having the same mindset as Christ Jesus is nothing but putting a Band-Aid. In a deeper level, having our mind set on what Christ desires is the way to life and peace in every aspect of our lives. How then does Apostle Paul describe Christ Jesus' mindset? Look at verse 6. Are you excited to know about Jesus' mindset? Look at verse 6. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Let's read this verse together. Please. Who being in did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. This is the first aspect of the mindset of Christ Jesus. Though being God, he did not consider his equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So, what does this mean? Being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. What does this mean? Firstly, Jesus always had a correct understanding of himself. He is God. Before he became a man, pre-incarnation, and before he was born as a man, and throughout his life on earth, he knew he is in very nature God, with the same attributes as God the Father. He had no identity confusion or crisis. But what amazes us, however, is that though being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He did not say to God the Father, I am God like you. I have equal say with you. My opinions are equally important than yours. You cannot tell me what to do. I have my own rights and freedom to enjoy. He didn't say that. Nor did he use his equality with God, something to be used, in order to lord it over people. He could have said to the simple people, listen to me, or I will send you all to hell, or call down the lightning from heaven. He did not use his miraculous powers or his wisdom as God for his own advantage, to get ahead, to manipulate, to feel superior. Rather, he had no sense of entitlement. If Jesus, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, how much more we shouldn't? If I apply Apostle Paul's words to myself, I would say, I, or David one, who in very nature a creature, and human, do not consider equality with God, of course not, or with others, something to be used to my own advantage. We simple human beings tend to think that I am my own person, not am I equal to others, but I think I'm superior to others. We even think we know better than God, secretly. Therefore, we are inclined to think that our desires, interests, and opinions are more important than others, at least as equal as theirs and God's. So then, how can we have the first aspect of Jesus' mindset? First, let's clarify. What is our identity? We are creatures and children of our great Creator God. This identity comes before our identity as simple human beings, or before our identity as Americans or Korean Americans or African Americans. Is it clear? We shouldn't have any identity confusion or crisis. So we must think of ourselves less from the world's perspective, but more from God's perspective. Recently, I read the book Knowledge of the Holy, written by A.W. Tozer. This book is all about God, His nature, attributes. As I meditated on God day and night, God grew bigger and greater and more awe-inspiring and overwhelming. I could not praise God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I hope you can sing at home, okay? I was overwhelmed with gratitude that I am a creature and child of such a great and awesome God. However, Satan lies that we can become like a God without God, or we can equal with God by disobeying Him. However, the truth is that we can never become like God without God. It requires God for us to become humans, created in His own image. So, let us take pride and confidence in being creatures of such a great God. Meditate on God day and night until you can rejoice and are overwhelmed with your status of being creatures of such a great God. Knowing our identity in relation to God affects our relationships with one another. I am secure in my identity. No matter how I or other anyone sees me, what matters is how God sees me. I am also humbled to know that all I am, all that I am, and all that I have comes from God. And at the same time, each person is a precious child of our awesome Creator God. Therefore, when we consider myself and each person from God's point of view, rather than looking to use God-given abilities, talents, position, education, or our outer appearances for our own advantage, we can use them for God's good purpose, especially to serve others in the body of Christ and give glory to our Creator God. Thank God for those who offered their God-given talents to dance, play in the orchestra, sing, write a drama and act, be on the tech team, be a stagehand, make props, design the banner and invitation card, be an usher, collect offering, deliver the message, bring their family and students, and pray fervently for 3 weeks so that God could be glorified. Amen. Apostle Paul describes the mindset of Christ more in verse 7. Let's read verse 7 together. Please, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The second aspect of the mindset of Christ Jesus is he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He made himself nothing, not something. What does it mean that Jesus made himself nothing? It means that he took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus, being in very nature God, took the nature of a servant, a slave who belonged to another. As a slave, he had no rights, no privileges, no claim to himself. It is inconceivable that the Creator eternal God willingly became a slave of God the Father and a slave of all men. Why did Jesus, who is God, became a slave of God the Father on earth? He did it because he looked to the interests of God and wants to save who loves and wants to save his lost creation. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And the way he carried out God's rescue mission was exactly as God desired and planned. John chapter 5, verse 19 says, Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Through Jesus' submission to God, God's words became his words, and God's power became his power, and God's works became his works. Therefore, his disciples could see whose glory? God's glory in Jesus Christ. Jesus became a servant of all men as well. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He did it for us, for our interests, not for his own. How did he serve? He healed all kinds of sick people who came to him from early in the morning until night. He fed the crowds. He preached the good news everywhere he went. He taught the truth to the religious leaders who hated him. He loved and discipled his young disciples who were with him 24/7. On the night before his death, he washed his disciples' feet. As he hung on the cross, he ministered to one robber who is now with him in paradise. And most of all, he died as a servant in our places, that we might be set free from slavery to Satan and become the children of God. He gave his life as a payment, as the ransom sacrifice in our place, so that we might not die under condemnation for our sins, but have eternal life in his name. What an amazing mindset Jesus had and lived by. And we praise Jesus, who took the nature of a servant. How can we have such a mindset as Christ Jesus? Again, we fight the right enemy. Who is our enemy? Self, or ego. Ourself is too strong for us to get rid of it by ourselves, by our willpower, and by meditation or yoga. Therefore, God gave us the cross of Jesus Christ, which is his wisdom and his power. Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life now I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Our ego has to be crucified together with Christ by faith daily. And we take the nature of a servant by putting Jesus as our new clothes by faith. And we need to pray to give our lives fully to God. Jonathan Edwards, a great preacher, a shepherd who helped to spark the first great awakening on January 12th, 1723, made his solemn dedication to God. He said, "I made a solemn dedication of myself to God and wrote it down, giving up myself and all that I had to God, to be for the future in no respect my own, to act as one that has no rights to himself in any respect, and solemnly vowed to take God for my whole portion and felicity, looking on nothing else and any part of my happiness, nor acting as if it were. These are beautiful vows. The fruit of his dedication transformed every sphere of American history, bringing forth a spiritual, political, and cultural transformation of passionate and wholehearted devotion to God, transforming this country into one nation under God. Wow, amazing, right? One person's dedication to God made such a great difference. May God give us another great awakening as each one of us makes such a dedication to God and to serve others like our Lord Jesus Christ. May God use your people here as a history maker and history changer. The third aspect of Jesus' mindset is found in verse 8. Let's read it together, verse 8. Please, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The third aspect is Jesus' mindset never changed, even to the point of death. People change their minds when they feel they are not being treated fairly or equally. While they seek human glory, approval or honor from others, when they do not get what they want, or when the demands or sacrifices are too much, when they don't feel appreciated, they change their minds very quickly. On the contrary, Jesus was faithful to death. He was a real man on earth, surrounded by real, simple men and women. He was rejected by his own people from his birth to his cross. He was a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. He was abandoned by his own disciples as he was arrested and tortured. Worst of all, he was forsaken by his Father God on the cross. However, he did not change his mindset. Jesus had his mind set on what God desired to the point of death. He valued God's will more than his own life through his prayer on the Garden of Gethsemane. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Why? Because he knew that his death was the only way to bring reconciliation and peace between God and man and man and man. At this point, some of us may feel scared to obey these words and to have this mindset of Christ Jesus, thinking, if I make myself nothing, become a slave of God and others, and become obedient to death, won't I lose everything? Won't I be stepped on and abused by others, and the last of all, live and die in oblivion? Boom. Let's see how God rewarded Jesus. Look at verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Jesus' promise is in Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen. Do you have the same mindset as Christ Jesus? In your relationships with others, do you have and practice the same mindset as Christ Jesus? Of course not, if we are honest. However, listen, RSV translates the verse 5 as follows. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. According to Apostle Paul, we already have Jesus' mindset since we are united with him. Have what you already have. Sounds strange, but have what you already have. So the problem is we do not obey the mindset we have in Christ. We do not have the faith to claim this mindset that we have already had. We do not want to die to ourselves or ego. What should we do then? Repent. Personally, I repent that I have had the wrong mindsets in my relationships with my family members and members of the church. I ask the Lord and anyone who has been hurt by me to forgive me. How about Joe? May I live each day with the mindset of Christ that I may have already received through my union with Christ. Made possible only through Christ's humility, servantship, death, and resurrection. Amen. Let us live by faith that we have Christ Jesus' mindset truly within us. Let us choose to obey his mindset and let it manifest through our lives and in our relationships with everybody. In that way, our inner person continues to change and grow until we become like Jesus, more and more, until we can become one with one another more and more. Wow, fantastic. In that way, our lives will bring abundant and overflowing life and healing and redemption to others. Also imagine how joyful Jesus can be when we become one, when grow in his mindset. May this Christmas message from Apostle Paul take deep roots in our hearts and lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing the mindset of Jesus Christ to us. More than that, thank you for giving your mindset into our hearts. Father, we have received so much from Jesus, but most of all, we received him, his mindset, his affection, and his heart, everything. Father, help us to let Jesus live through us. Help us to really crucify our old ego that only Jesus can live through us. Father, have mercy upon me. Help me to remember, utilize the mindset of Jesus Christ in every aspect of life. Father, heal this country from all broken relationships and hurts and wounds when each Christian, your children, can have and practice the mindset as you have. Thank you for your grace and mercy through this message. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.